Again, have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 14, verse 20. This stage-setting statement that our Father makes about now turning our attention toward body godliness and not destroying the work of God for meat, for the sake or cause of something as to the, at least to the stronger one in the faith, that is something as inconsequential as that, destroy not the work of God. And as I set this up in our last lesson, I said, I think there's much more going on here than meets the eye when we think about what this work of God is and turn our attention not to the individual godliness or individual edification going on, but the body, the godliness, the godlikeness that the body is supposed to be going through. And again, this is something many churches, many Christians almost never ever think about. Is somebody dragging a body back there? I don't know what was going on there, but Eric, are you under control back there? Is Eric back there? Maybe it was him. Somebody drug Eric out. Good to go? Huh?
No.
Okay. All right. I don't know what I was saying, but anyway, we turn our attention now toward this issue of the body godliness, or, and I know what I was saying. I was saying that most Christians, most churches never think of this, that there is, just as God is trying to produce a particular image with you, that edification is designed to produce and conform you to the image of God's Son, so too is that as a whole. There's a particular image that He's trying to produce, and we're involved in that, and that is a great matter of importance to the Father, and it should be to you. And hopefully what I'm about to say will generate some enthusiasm toward that so that this becomes a really critical matter in your thinking and in your conduct and behavior as well. So as I said, it seems to me that there's something more going on. My understanding is that there is more going on, and to address this issue of what more is going on here with this fatherly exhortation and admonition for meat, destroy not the work of God, is to really look at something a little deeper or with a little better appreciation or perception, that something we've talked about and dealt with before. And what I'm after is looking at how all that we're having said to us here fits into this issue that we've come to understand and appreciate about you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only being justified in God's sight, but sanctified in God's sight. And as ones who are sanctified in God's sight, as we learn back, and we could kind of go back to just put our little chart up here of our in Christ chart, that little pie chart that we use, when we came to understand and appreciate the fact that in Romans 6, 7, and 8, we have been baptized or fully identified in all that Christ is, in His redemption, in justification, in sanctification, in exaltation. We now have been fully identified. We have been baptized with that new identity with what Christ is, and by Him, by God making us to be in Him. This little phrase, in Christ, is a big deal. And we've gone over that back in Romans chapter 6. And as such, that's our position. We're positionally to be said to be in Christ. And in fact, let's look at this one. Take that little pie chart. And we've looked at it this way. That's our static position, but that's not supposed to be static. It's a living position. It's supposed to be put into practice. And when we talked about all of this, when we talked about being in Christ as members of the body of Christ, as we were made aware of that in chapter 12 and verse 5, one of the things we came to understand and appreciate is that, and we've talked about this many times in the past, We are put in a very real and true and genuine, what I call a living union relationship with Christ. We are united to Him. By the way, that's one of the reasons why God invented and originated and instituted the divine institution of marriage. That institution, there's no other institution that so similarly illustrates the issue of a living union relationship. That's a field of practice for us under some particular aspects of godliness. Now, I know those two jokers that got married yesterday have no idea. They don't even know what marriage is. But what I'm looking for is bets on when the royal divorce will take place. But this living union relationship is a big, big deal. And we've talked about that many times, and I've got to tell you something, I'm fascinated with that. It's a matter of, that fascinates me, what this living union relationship with Christ as members of His body is all about. And fortunately, I'm learning more and more about it all the time. Well, there's a parallel that exists between the living union relationship of the body of Christ and the living union relationship that exists between individual members of our physical bodies. There's a parallel. It's one of the reasons why when God's going to talk to you about who you are in Christ, as He begins giving you His godly wisdom, the very first thing He wants you to start developing is godly body thinking. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, you are introduced to the fact that you are members one of another, and you are all members of one body in Christ. And then remember, as we were learning that, and we learned body attributes by going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27, we learned those attributes that your body has, even when it's at rest, even when it's asleep, it has those attributes of selflessness. One organ, one body part does not selfishly, your lungs don't just inhale and say, I'm going to keep all the air and I'm not going to give you any. Which led to the second feature of cooperation. All the members of the body, all the body parts cooperate. And the sacrifice that they give. Just like I told you the other day when I hurt my toe. My hand went down there and it grabbed that toe and started giving it aid. And it never thought for one minute if it was smelly, if it was bloody, if it was this, if it was that. It just immediately went to work. And that fourth matter of welfare, for the welfare of the entire body. Well, my point isn't to go back over all of that. My point is to bring that up and think about this living union relationship. Have you ever wondered, maybe the best way to get into this, let's remember something. If this truly is practice or vocational training for what you and I are going to be involved in the creature, in the heavenly realm. Again, Paul brings up the kingdom of God in our passage in Romans, knowing that the earth will function as kind of the inner man, if you will, the soul and the spirit, and then the body of Christ, us, as the new creature of the church, a body of Christ, are going to be put in positions in the heavenly realm, and we're going to function as the embodiment of this earth. Have you ever wondered about how we are joined together as being many members in one body in Christ? This living union relation, what's the nature of it? How are we going to be bound? What is going to bind us together? Or maybe we should approach it another way. And this may seem to be unrelated, but it isn't. Have you ever just thought about being members of the body of Christ in those positions out there in the heavenly realm, and it just comes across your mind how big that thing is? It's so big. The enormity of the universe as we know it now. And believe me when I tell you, that is not a fraction of what the firmament is capable of handling. Right now, the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet, all of that kind of business sits in a solid object called the firmament. The properties of the firmament are such, you do this, I see you all do this. Not me, because I don't have one. Y'all that have a phone, a cell phone, you all do this. You put a picture up there on your cell phone, and you can't see it really well, so you take your fingers like this, and you go like this, and stretch it, and stretch it, and stretch it. Okay, if you were to take one little portion of the firmament, like a Planck particle, and you were to stretch it and stretch it and stretch it, that one Planck particle could hold thousands of universes in it if it was stretched out far enough. The firmament is capable of far more than just the universe that sits in it now. And yet it's enormous. And if I'm going to be put out there in a principality or a power, a throne, a might, or dominion, or whatever I'm going to be operating in out in there, this thing is so large, how will I ever communicate with you? You know, Cindy's like, well, how will I ever get in touch with you? And I'm like, probably never. There is no marriage there, you know. I better shut up. I've got an anniversary Friday or a Wednesday. Wednesday's our anniversary. And if we really are, here's another problem. If we really are all the way out there, if I'm up here at this bright spot right here, I know God is omnipotent, omniscient, and all of those kinds of things. I understand that. But the personal presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be on this earth, right? In the body that he was crucified in and resurrected, that has the nail scars in it still, that body, that resurrection body of his, is coming back to this earth, and it is going to be seated in David's throne in Jerusalem. He's going to be seated on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords here on this earth. God himself, the first member of the Godhead, God the Father, is going to live on the earth. He created it for him to live there. He's going to move his residence from... It's kind of interesting to think of God moving. I wonder what kind of moving vehicle he has to get all his stuff. Stuff is what he's got, by the way. That's a good King James word. King James Bible originated stuff. All his stuff is going to be brought down to earth, and he's going to live here. But we are going to be way out there. And this we're talking about enormous distances. How are we ever going to see him? How are we ever going to communicate with him? How in the world is this going to work? Well, there are answers to it. And what I'm going to do for us is to not answer it myself. I'm going to allow Keith Blades to answer it. In a particular email response that Keith had to an answer in one of his question and answer responses, he says it as well as it could be said. And I think it's something that is going to kind of turn a corner on your thinking of how this is all going to work. All right? So again, this is going to be dealing with that matter of this living. We are in a living union relationship. But it's in this enormous scale. So this is what he said. The question is rather humorous, but I'm not going to read the question in case the person who wrote the question is reading or hearing this or seeing it, and then maybe take objection to it. But here's the question. It's basically a question along the lines of that, of how are we going to communicate? How are we going to be able to, you know, if Christ is on the earth and we're out there, how are we going to be able to get to him and all this kind of stuff? All right, here's Keith's answer. He says, when it comes to understanding and appreciating the kind of living union relationship that we have with Christ as the body of Christ, what God expects us to do is to understand and appreciate the direct and deliberate parallel that exists between it and the living union relationship that exists between the individual members of our physical bodies. How do we understand that? How did he begin teaching it to you? Romans 12:1-8. And especially 4 and 5. Ye are members one of another. Ye are one body in Christ. Start thinking about your physical body. All the parts of your body have a living union relationship with all the other parts. For example, this is what Romans 12:4-5 would have us to do, along with the more extensive and detailed passage, as I told you in last lesson, of 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. Simply put, the nature of our living union relationship is that we have with Christ as the members of his body, and that we have as members one of another, is just like that which exists among the members of our physical bodies, which is one of the reasons why we are called the body of Christ. And the nature of that relationship is one in which the individual members are not only integrally joined together one to another for the purpose of forming a composite body, but they are also individually and collectively joined to the head, from which the administration of the whole body's purpose and function comes, and through which each member's instruction and function for the good of the whole body and to meet the purpose of the whole body is received. Now, what he's talking about there is, you say this distance here is a long distance. All right. Well, there's a body without a head. Let's put his head on him for a minute. By the way, right now, that's about all we're learning in level one of our sonship education. In level two, we're going to learn about the head. Down here is a toe. Up here is the head. That, folks, is a long distance. It's a long way away. The toe is a long way away from your head. Does your toe know that? Nope. Listen to this. The actual mechanical means by which each member is actually and effectually joined together. I'll get this because this is going to be a lot about what level two is going to be about. Joined together in the living union relationship of the body of Christ is accomplished. In fact, I want to go back to my creature chart. I'm going to take that off. The living union relationship is accomplished. This joining of the body together and the living union relationship that makes it exist is actually accomplished by the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, who being the Spirit of God, that he is, has the capacity to function, listen, as the permeating and adjoining Spirit. That's what he does. So one of the reasons, that's a reason why you were given the Holy Ghost at the moment you were saved, and why you have the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you now, and why He's leading you through the curriculum. Why, when you were first taught about your position as a son, the status that you have as a son, it was put the way it was. You have not received the spirit of fear unto bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You received Him. That's talking about a Him. The spirit of adoption, large case S, spirit of adoption. Because He's going to do something. It's accomplished by the Holy Ghost, who being the Spirit of God that He is, has the capacity to function as the permeating and adjoining Spirit through every member of the body, just as the spirit of man itself does in a man's own physical body. Your spirit permeates your whole body. I don't know, I can't explain how, but the human body is able to house your spirit without it getting out. Some people always ask, well, how can spirits be incarcerated in the pit? Well, they're incarcerated in your body, so obviously they can be. Just as the spirit of man does in a man's own physical body, likewise, in parallel with the mechanical function of the spirit of man within a man's physical body, so the Holy Ghost functions as the spiritually mechanical means, for the effectual transmission of and functioning of the intelligence of the head throughout the body, as that intelligence is expressed by the head through His word to the members of the body. And that's exactly what you're going to have. Think of it this way. Let's go back to that little chart I had. Think of it this way. You've got a head. All right? Now, who says the head needs to be on the top of the body? Maybe the head can be in the middle. And you've got a body. Right? Now watch. The body, this is a physical human body. This body is the entire creature, the heavenly places. The head of this body is the earth. All right? We're going to be far distant from that earth in miles, in space. But the key is, it's the Holy Spirit that permeates that body. It's large enough and powerful enough, and the Word of God is designed so that it sets up almost like a spiritual intelligence system, as you have in parallel form in your physical body. I'm up here talking and doing an awful lot of things. At the exact same time, my legs, my feet, my toes, my arms, my hands are all working in unison. They know the distribution of weight. They know exactly what my balance is to be. I've got things working in my inner ear that deal with balance. My own human spirit is in contact with all of that. What I'm saying is, even though my toe may be all the way down there, it does not sense distance from the head. If you think it does sense distance from the head, just drop something on your toe today. Or I'll tell you what, when you go out in the parking lot, stick your thumb in your car door and slam it on it. And we'll see if that distance between your thumb and your head is sensed or not sensed. You will realize how incredibly closely living union relationship your thumb is with the rest of your body. This is the genius of God creating a physical body in the first place. Keith goes on, "Now what I have just set forth is a very briefly stated and sketchy example of some of the instructive information that we have in our epistles by which we are enabled to understand and appreciate the nature of the living union relationship that we have with Christ in this dispensation as members of His body that we are, along with also understanding and appreciating the genius of the relationship as it provides for us to fulfill the purpose and vocation God has for us in Christ when it comes to reconciling the heavenly places unto Himself. However, all the details of what God says to us in such passages as Romans 12, 4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27, and also later on in Ephesians 4, 15 through 16. And we've looked at this, but come over and take a look at it. Philippians 4, 16, 15 through 16. This is looking ahead. This is level 2 doctrine. And you should be able to say, now I know why he was drilling into us, destroy not the work of God. I'm telling you, you may be stationed in some place out in the creature that is, we use the term, light years from earth, but you will have no sensation whatsoever of that distance. And the reason you won't have any sensation of that distance is because the same spirit that's operating in the head is the same spirit that's operating in you. Just like my toe does not sense distance from my head. To me, it's all one body. And that's why Paul teaches you things. That's why God has you learn things in your advanced education such as this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, there's doctrine, edification, in love, the truth in love, may grow up, there's edification, unto into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you know that when that verse is almost always taught, the pastors who teach it cannot see anything past their own pulpit. To them, it's just what's happening in the, well, maybe just the first few, it's just what's happening with you individually. That's talking about the heavenly, what we're going to be functioning in as a body in the heavenly realm when we are out in that creature, when we're functioning out there. And the fact that Jesus Christ is going to be personally present here on this earth, I know that you can talk about his omniscience and all of that kind of thing, but there's got to be something more than theology, than some branch of systematic theology that makes this a real thing. That doesn't make it real. What makes it a real and true and genuine living union relationship is understanding exactly who God has made us to be in Christ, what we are all about as a body, and how the head and the body begin to function to one another. And when we discover that, we'll understand what I talk about and you never ask about, and I'm glad you don't, because I don't have a whole lot of answers to, of how the earth is to respond to the heavenly realm. However it's going to respond, it's going to respond as a body. And it can't do that now. For two huge reasons. The head isn't on the earth, and the body isn't in the creature, to the frustration of the adversary. That's what he's trying to duplicate. And believe me, he knows what he's doing, because he apparently was able to get near the job done with Nimrod. And when that's done, you're going to be able to unlock the power of God's creation. The power of God's creation, there isn't a scientist in this world that understands it. You'd have to be a biblicist. Only the Bible can describe the power that's out there. And he wants to put that into your hands. You talk about explosive power, you talk about nuclear power, you talk about all these kinds of powers, and yet science has never even approached the kind of power that can produce holiness, righteousness, the glory of God. The Bible says God is consuming fire. By the way, the firmament is incredibly hot, but he's structured it so that each particle of it acts as its own black hole and keeps its heat shielded from us. That thing is going to be you've got to stop thinking about it as being populated by us. It's going to become a body comprised of us. Anyway, I get the feeling that I'm the only person in this room for some reason. Have I lost you totally? Okay. Continuing with Keith's little explanation, he says, now one of the further things that we are able to understand and appreciate is just how it is that when we are installed in our positions of vocation in the heavenly places, the Lord can be here on earth in Israel's kingdom, and we can be with him at that same time. And when it comes to us understanding and appreciating how this will work, we need to recognize two particular things. The first thing is that the living union relationship that God has designed to exist between members of the body in their composite body is one in which the members sense no distance or disconnection from the head. And by the way, what the thing that mechanically is that takes is a what? A spirit. And that's going to be one of the major jobs of God the Holy Spirit in the next dispensation. And by the way, that's why you'll never and achieve the fullness of this here. That's why we're just practicing. And why you have such passages as God saying you've been given the earnest of the Spirit. There's a work the Holy Spirit can't do just yet with you, but will do when we're finally placed as sons. And that's why we're just given the earnest of it now. But some things mechanically have to take place for you to really and truly understand that you are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That seems so remote. The doctrine of Ephesians 1 especially and 2 is designed to make it so that that is no longer sensed as remote. The Holy Spirit has a huge work to do within you in level 2 of your sonship edification. That's going to come as close as it'll ever come in this life of matching that. So if you don't think you've got something grand to look forward to in level 2 of sonship education, you have. And it makes you realize these morons that run around saying they have great Holy Ghost power because they can maybe guess your first name starts with an M. It just shows them to be the frauds and the impotent, satanically inspired people that they are. But I digress. Regardless of whether they act, let's see. Let me start again. The living union relationship that God has designed to exist between the members of the body and their composite body is one in which the members sense no distance or disconnection from the head or from any other member of the body for that matter. So there you go, Cindy. We will always know where each other are, and we will sense closeness just that close. Only I'll sense that same closeness with you and you and you and you. It's one of the reasons why there's no marriage there. Because that living union sensation of the living union of marriage is going to permeate the whole body. This is really great stuff. Don't try to explain it. No. We're just going to have to keep it to us, I guess. This is more or less the way it is with the members of our physical body right now. And this is the way that it'll be with us being the body of Christ that we are when, after the conclusion of this present dispensation, we receive our redeemed and changed bodies. For it is only right now in these present earthly houses of this tabernacle with their present limitations and restrictions that we are both aware of being absent from the Lord, right? We're aware of that. We're not with him. And we sense it. But such will not be the case in our redeemed and changed bodies. Rather, in that day, both the issue of us being joined to Christ in one spirit and the issue of us being joined to Him in the one body of Christ will be fully sensed and experienced by us. Hence, there will be no sense of absence, distance, disadvantage, remoteness, or any other such thing with us when it comes to us being in our positions in the heavenly places and Him physically being present on the earth. The second thing to understand and appreciate in connection with this is that it is the particular function and life of the Holy Ghost Himself that is designed to produce within us the full sense of and full awareness of our living union relationship with Christ in that day. And that is just what He has the capacity to produce and is going to produce in our redeemed and changed bodies. I think of this, by the way, and I think how often I underestimate the Holy Spirit. We will have and experience the fullness of His ministry and capacity as the Spirit of God that He is. Wherefore, what I have previously referred to as His capacity to function as a permeating and adjoining Spirit will in that day be functioning to its fullest within us, including in our bodies. And thereby, the sense of presence with our Lord Jesus Christ as the head of the body will be fully and equally known by every member of the body of Christ when we are in the heavenly places, regardless of any actual distance existing between us and Him. And then he goes on to say a few other things in closing, but I thought that said it about as well as I could ever say it. All right? Now, let's go back to our passage. Having said all that, you look at that and you say, for meat, destroy not the work of God, the work of God with the body. Man, that makes a lot, that's a lot more important than I thought it was 30 minutes ago. Hopefully. For meat, destroy not the work of... That sentence is designed to set the stage for what follows, and folks, it's designed to be one of those sonship sayings that we are to have permanently written upon the fleshy table of our heart. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Well, let's see if we can finish the verse. I don't know. I'll tell you what. After saying all that, do you have any questions or comments?
Did we have a copy
of that email?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's something we need to read.
Yeah. I think I'll wait and finish this next time, because there's a couple of really interesting things that are said. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man. I will tell you this, and you can begin working on it. When he says, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense, who is that man? Nope. I know. See, that's what I did too. You read that, and your natural tendency is to think that's talking about the weaker brother who's sitting there, Mr. Grumpy, well, I've been offended, but I'm going to eat it. That's not talking about the weaker brother. That's the stronger brother. Yeah, it's evil for that man who eateth with offense. And there's something about that word offense, why God uses the word offense there instead of some other word. But anyway, let me just get back to, let's put the creature back up there and end with this. When you get a glimpse, and that's all we've gotten today, is a glimpse into maybe by understanding what our Father's beginning to do with us. He has to start somewhere, and He starts at the perfect place with appreciating what a local assembly is for. And what I'm saying is that as close as we can come to actually being there and the day in which the Holy Ghost does work in this further advanced ministry that he has to be the permeating and adjoining spirit for all of us as members of the body, that still can be simulated here. Maybe not to the nth degree that it will be there, maybe in just an earnest of it, but it still can be that. And that's part of what a local assembly's value is for, to be able to practice and have that living union relationship meaningful beyond just the fact of your health status. Your health status is important to us, or your financial status, or whatever status you're talking about. But very few people ever really are as burdened with and concerned with your edificational status. And it's easy to get burdened with somebody whose house burned down. And I'm not saying that's wrong at all. But that's not the purpose of the existence of a local church, is to alleviate the poor and the homeless. To be quite honest with you, that's what government, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Scrooge here, but there are a couple of things old Scrooge said was right. And you know me by now that, I forget, somebody told me, they said, well, thanks, you just destroyed Scrooge for me. Well, that's man's attempt at redemption. And they have to use spirits to do it, but it's not the way God would do it. All I'm after in that is just once again trying to say that the edificational aspect of why we're here, what we're doing here, is so that one day we're going to be functioning and operating and valuable and essential in God's work and business with what he's going to do with his creation in the heavenly places. All right. Any thoughts? Yeah.
I mean, I know it's out there, but it's that last 8 verses of Ephesians 1, that prayer, you know, which ends in the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And those words were really hard. And I'm not saying I've got my mind around them completely, but those are tough things to get your mind around. But they're not as tough if you get this down first. And you just come along and say, don't panic. This builds on what I've been teaching you. Keep thinking as a body. Yeah.
Mark had something to you. This was really thought-provoking for me, and I'm not sure if I'm going to explain myself well. But back up a few minutes ago, you said something about how can the body contain the Holy Spirit, our spirit?
Mm-hmm. I've never thought about that, but what I was talking about wasn't the Holy Spirit. I was talking about our human spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
And how it keeps contained in us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, since everything we're doing is putting into practice for who we are, there's just a lot you see. And about being in contact with each other.
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing,
okay.
And only I would know this, but when maybe this will help answer your question. Because I think you're on to something. I really do. Keith is, as some of you know, Keith died of colon cancer. And he had to get a colon, no, not ostomy, colonectomy. The whole colon was removed, and he was put on a bag. And only Keith, he told. We were talking about the firmament and the creature, and he said just before they put him under, he was laying on the operating table, and he looked up at his surgeon, and he said, could I ask you a question? And he goes, yeah. And he said, when you look at my body, he said, what would you describe as my firmament? And the surgeon looked at him and he was like, you know, he's all gowned up and everything. And he goes, your skeleton? And Keith said, okay, thank you. And then they put him to sleep. His last question before he went under the knife was picking the brain of a surgeon who deals with a body of what his thinking was about what you would call my firmament. So he was obviously thinking about something along those lines. You've got to realize, I mean, all of your organs are set in that body. And when you stand up, for instance, your liver doesn't fall down into your feet. Everything stays in place. So there may be a parallel there that I haven't thought about either. Yeah, some of this stuff is very mind-provoking. You may have something to talk about at lunch today.
Well, I am, because Mark, you're going to be connected with me even though you
are. That's right. That's right.
Well, that made me sad to think I was going to be away from him, but I'm pretty happy now.
No.
His honeydews will be different.
Yeah. Isn't that great, though? This is incredible.
Well, the other thing I thought about, you know, different ones of us talk during breaks and stuff, but we're always going to have that, the connection we have here is just going to be put into just huger realm of things, so we'll always be connected. I mean, we are one body.
Yeah. But whereas it seems like where we rely upon, And I'm not saying this is wrong at this point where we are in our sense of education, but we rely on the Holy Spirit's leading through the curriculum almost selfishly, almost like for me, you're leading me through the curriculum. It's until we get into level two, those attachments start to be realized. It doesn't start there, but it starts to be more firmly realized in level two of what is going to be a miniature version of that, of that ability. And there's some things in that living union relationship that, quite frankly, there's only a couple people in this world I've talked to. Keith was one and Kenneth is the other. And I think we have only begun scratching the surface of what that living union relationship is and what it can do. Because that's amazing. And it's the Holy Spirit that gets it done. It makes you realize the union that existed between Christ and his Father. The Spirit provided that union to take place, even when he was so far away from his Father as to this earth. The sensation of Jesus being away from his Father wasn't experienced. What did he say? I and my Father are one. He said that while he was on this earth.
I thought it was interesting how when you were, how you used the example of zooming in to that one specific point in the distance between the two. You know, I kind of thought that in reverse of taking that entire, everything within the firmament and zooming out, making that the same distance. To the top of the
head, yeah.
You know, and just bringing that whole thing into a body.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, kind of really made sense there.
Right.
Of how that could take.
And this is the kind of stuff that you wind up realizing that the so-called advancements of physics, they haven't even begun to contemplate some of this, of how it could be accomplished, because they're limited. Science, especially the world of physics and astrophysics, is limited by Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein limited, by his theory of relativity and what he did with the speed of light, limited science from ever being able to discover what God says. And that's what I'm realizing now, why one of the things Keith said to me at one of his by the way things when we were talking once, he said, the more you study God's word and the more you understand the firmament, the more you'll realize Albert Einstein was an idiot. All right. Well, good. That's good. Some great. Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are. I think you've got to. It's one thing to have a physical, nervous system. But even when your nervous system, all your nervous system can do is fire a message to your brain of pain. It takes that in connection, that whole thing in connection with your human spirit to know what to do. And if your human spirit doesn't know what to do, guess what you begin to do, what your soul begins to do? Panic. When you run out of information, the soul starts to panic. And so when you're operating, that's why it's body, soul, and spirit together. And so, but to answer your question, I think there will be something similar to that. That there will be, and maybe it's going to be something, that, an apparatus that is set up and produced by the Holy Spirit through us, but the immediacy of the sensation, the immediacy of being together and that kind of thing, I think is all going to be very real. It's not going to be theory, it's going to be actual, and I think that's a ministry the Holy Spirit has that he hasn't and won't even begin to do until we are placed as sons. Yeah, I think functions as a body. I mean, when Paul describes the creature in Romans 8, sit down some time and think about what he says back there, just in the terminology he uses to describe it to us when he first presents it to us. And he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Well, how can the creature earnestly expect anything? Think about what that takes to earnestly expect something. You're starting to talk about, it takes intelligence. It talks about being subject to vanity not willingly. That thing has a will. It's interesting and fascinating, and what a privilege to be part of it. So, all right. Well, I think I redeemed myself from the first hour. All right, we'll stop right there, and next time we'll finish that verse and maybe even verse 21, but I thought maybe I could have the whole chapter done by, that reminds me, next Sunday is Memorial Day. We are closed Memorial Day, so have a good time with your family. Somebody should post that on the website. Andrew's not here, I'll try, but we will be closed on Memorial Day weekend, so I won't see you I'll see you Wednesday. Today's Sunday. I'll see you Wednesday, which is my anniversary. I got to remember to get a card. And then the following Wednesday after that. So we'll be closed on Memorial Day. All right, with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have the opportunity of gathering together as a body, and what an opportunity it is that every time we gather together, we are gathering together in this living union relationship, and that has great significance and great meaning to us. We thank you, Father, for the ability of your word to produce this kind of living union relationship. We pray that we will ever be mindful of those things that we might do to cast a stumbling block in another brother's way to not only destroy him, but destroy and unbuild the very work that you're building in this place. We pray, Father, that we will have your wisdom in the matters that we have discussed, that not only the image of Christ might be developing within us individually, but the image of Christ as you want it in this assembly will be developing along with it as in its godly edification. We thank you so much for all that Jesus Christ has done for us at Calvary's cross and all that you have made us to be in Christ, much of which we seem to not even understand yet. We thank you that it is an ever-growing aspect of before us, and so that we will never tire of it and never grow weary of it or bored of it, but it will always be fascinating and interesting and alive as a living union relationship is. We thank you for this and for how you've done this and the genius that you have done in doing that, and give you these thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.